Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's Friday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are down here in the Rail Yard Girls State 2020. Excited to be here as the NSAA Girls State Fan Fest going on in the Rail Yard. You headed down for Pius and East tonight. Well, stop on by the Rail Yard and you know what? You can show off that jump shot, can show off the three-point distance. You could pretend you're posterizing either me or Elijah Herbel. As there's hoops here in the Rail Yard and lots of kids in front of me right now just playing ball, enjoying themselves. Gorgeous weather out in the Rail Yard. And your good friends at the Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau bringing you the NSAA Girls State Fan Fest here in the Rail Yard. Other folks that are helping make this happen, Fleet Feet, Triple B, Bison, and, of course, Dave and Eric and the gang at the Nebraska Sports Council. So that is going on today, tomorrow, and, of course, next week for Boys State. Plenty of the tenants are there to feed you as well. Longwell's, Mellow Mushroom, Hero, Bourbon Street, Gate 25, and Burger Fi. So make it an evening and for sure make it a full day tomorrow. Spring football is on the doorstep. We are going to get into it. Greg Smith will be with us in about 15 minutes. Some recruiting recon and some spring thoughts from Greg. Hour two, Bill Dolman will join us, the Pride of Fairbury, Jeff Maul from the Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau. You know, I'm going to have to see if Maul's got that three-point distance from back in high school. He's stopping by. And then Ryan Pasota, head coach of the Pius girls basketball team. Coach Pasota kind enough to join us in hour two. And then Friday forecast, our dear friend Claus Byrne will be back. Plenty of basketball to predict accurately or inaccurately this weekend ahead of conference tournament time. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com and find us on Twitter. Give us a tweet at Schmidt underscore radio or at Herbal Essences. Elijah, what do you know, man? We're going to get things kicked off Monday, of course, with spring 2020 for Nebraska football. But you know what? Why not make a day of it today and tomorrow with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity and get into it? Lots of questions this spring. Lots of hype last spring. Barely a murmur on football other than, is it ready to start yet? And there's a lot of position battles to talk about.
Well, I got a quick question in that the first case of COVID-19 was just confirmed in Nebraska. Are we running into a possibility where you think maybe they won't have the spring game? I know there's a lot of events being canceled in Europe, sporting events, that is.
You bite your tongue.
I don't want it to happen, but it is a possibility, is it not?
I guess, dude. I guess my take on COVID, if between the flu or whatever else is airborne out there, or COVID-19. I'm sorry. I'm not masking up. I'm not gloving up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
If I die, I die. Sorry.
I'm with you on that. And I hear symptoms. It's not much worse.
I'm not going to not go to a sporting event because of coronavirus fear. In fact, I will double down and use corona as my medicine to fight the coronavirus.
You know how I know it can't be that? I mean, it's killing a lot of people. That sounds bad to say. But, I mean, all these people are up and about and doing things and going and traveling the country and meeting all these people while they still have coronavirus. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's obviously not doing, like, great things to this country and the economy.
No, if your health care sucks and you already have pre-existing conditions, yeah, I'd be worried about the coronavirus.
But I personally am
not all
that worried.
The United States doesn't have, you may bitch and moan about your health care costs, which I get, but it's not like you can't get good treatment.
Yeah, no, I'm not all that concerned, to be 100% honest with you.
Let's talk football. I've been coronavirused out for 3 weeks from 6 to 9 a.m. So Let's get into some depth. News and notes first, real quick. Mo Washington news. Mo Washington pleading no contest. And the sentence came down today. Let me officially get that to you here. Maurice Washington receiving a 30-day jail sentence and 2 years probation in his California revenge porn case. So he pleaded no contest, which isn't an admission of guilt, but it's not saying I didn't do it. He's not fighting the charges. So in exchange for the no contest plea, prosecutors are dropping the felony charge Washington faced. Washington taken into custody Thursday at Santa Clara County Jail. And he is in a minimum security facility. His release date will be listed as March 20th. Is that right? Does that sound right? Yeah, there we go. So 2 years probation and 30 days in the can. But at least it's minimum security. Back to position groups. Running back, is there a question mark for you in the running attack for Nebraska football when we talk spring ball 2020? You know, it's an opportunity for Nebraska to really see what type of strides a guy like Ramir Johnson has made in the winter conditioning and the strength training this winter season as he gets into spring. You've got Dedrick Mills, that's your incumbent, that's a really good back. But right now you're kind of thin at back because you don't know about Ronald Tompkins and his knee. I mean, the poor guy's had an ACL in the left knee. He's had an ACL in the right knee. He had to have some cleanup work done. And you're kind of waiting on your two kids from this recent recruiting class. So there's not a ton to discuss about back other than Ramir Johnson. And how much do you work Dedrick Mills just from an injury precaution standpoint? And I know we talked offensive line a couple of times this week. I want to go back to that. All right, let's talk about the candidates, Elijah. Let's talk about that offensive guard spot. This is all assuming that Bryce Benhart's going to get that right tackle spot kind of hunkered down. And I think he can. And then Farniok could be a really, really, really good guard. So that takes a guard spot, and you have one guard spot open for a Piper, a Wilson, a Hickson, and a Turner Cochran. I'm interested in the guard spot. I'm interested in nose guard. Who emerges? Keem Green or Damian Daniels. And then you have a slew of wide receivers. You have Wandale and Cade Warner that have been in the system. But what does Alante Brown, Jamie Nance, Demarion Houston, and Hickman do? And then there's a lot of guys to talk about on the defensive line with Stilley and DeAndre Thomas and, of course, Casey Rogers and Tate Wildeman, Mosai Newsome, Ty Robinson. I like the names, and I hope things have gone well. No news is good news for winter conditioning, but I hope that there's a really strong spring with both lines of scrimmage. This could be a banner spring for Nebraska, not only to get the starters earmarked or at least kind of, you know, plant anchor for that, but man, you're going to have a bunch of people behind that can keep working to get reps. And how about some depth, I should say. How about some depth, Elijah? That sounds like a good idea. Nebraska's not had that in forever.
Well, I think the offensive and defensive lines, as you said, are the place where we could see the most competition in this spring. I think we're going to see the most, we're going to get the most answers along the offensive and defensive lines this spring, just because most of the guys are already on campus. They're here and they're ready to work. When you were talking about that left guard spot, I think that's one of the more intriguing positions of the entire offense this spring, aside from who's going to be that third wide receiver behind Omar Manning. And so
you're already counting that Omar gets here. All right.
Oh, I am pretty confident in that with the state of the wide receiver room right now. I think the coaches are going to make sure that he gets here. I could be wrong in that, but I like focusing on the offensive line. And from what I'm seeing with Farniak moving into right guard, I think it makes a lot of sense to slot in a guy with more size than Bo Wilson at left guard. And then you're going to have guys with a lot of size at tackle and at your guards, which is much more similar to what NFL teams are doing now, where the tackles and guards are a little more interchangeable. And a guy that you missed, who I think had a good year last year and could parlay his way into some playing time this year, is Brock Bando at left guard.
Well, and let's talk with Brock a minute, because I know you're close with him. And I didn't, like, just skip over him intentionally. It's not that Brock's not done well, because when he's gone in, he's performed. But the names you hear about from a guard standpoint are Piper, and then you had Wilson and Hickson. And Bando was a guard, but they threw him at tackle. What does the guy like playing best?
It's tackle. You can tell that from he started here as a tackle, moved to guard, and they moved him back to tackle for a reason. But I think the kid also, he's a Nebraska kid. He wants to see the field. And I think he'll do whatever it takes to get on the field and help the Huskers win.
So could he challenge Ben Hart at that right tackle spot?
I could see him challenge. I mean, he started as a right tackle, moved to left tackle last year based on more need, but he did play a lot of right tackle as well. I could see him challenging right tackle. I could also see him challenging left guard.
Okay.
Personally, I think those two positions we're going to see the most competition. Left tackle, Hymus, and center Juergens are pretty set in stone. I think Farniak is almost set in stone at right guard. That makes so much more sense than him playing tackle.
Well, I mean, I think so. And you just look at his strengths and what Farniak can be. And the guy's really strong, really good on his feet. And you take that ability and agility that may be kind of hit or miss. And listen, man, the Big Ten's not an easy conference to live on the edge as a tackle. It is brutal. It is absolutely brutal. So to take what strengths you do have and maybe move you inside to even the odds a little bit from a quickness and strength standpoint, I think that would work. I think that would work well. But this is all – it's a domino effect here with Ben Hart, right? I mean, if he's not ready or they're not quite comfortable or confident in that, and I'm not saying they're not, then they're going to keep Farniak there at right tackle, wouldn't you think?
You'd think so, but then you also have the question of, as we said, Brock Bando slotting in at right tackle, because I really do think that from what I saw from Farniak last year, he was out of his element at right tackle. That was not a comfortable position for him, and I think he was one of the weaker links along the offensive line at times last year at that right tackle position.
So let's talk about the quarterbacks, because why not? I'm interested to hear from Coach Frost on Monday just where Adrian's at health-wise, and I know Coach Frost is very close to the vest when it comes to injuries and progress, but you can get an update. How's Adrian's winter been? How healthy is he? And is Adrian Martinez ready to step forward and just – listen, love you guys. Thanks for the competition, but this is my bleeping job. We're not going anywhere, my friends. I'm not going anywhere. And that'd be fine with me. I've kind of come to the realization, as I've kind of hemmed and hawed this week with the Spielman move to get us, or news to get us kicked off on Monday, I want to see just straight up reps and snaps by Luke McCaffrey at quarterback. I want to see him get another spring at quarterback. I want to see him get another spring in this offense. I want to see him get another spring working at the quarterback spot and improving his passing. I love how dynamic he is as a runner. I love what he has done. 9 for 12, 12 pass attempts, 3 or 4 touchdowns. I like him on the move throwing the ball. But when it comes to the pocket and that quick blink decision-making, Super Mario and Frost went with their quarterback. Where is McCaffrey at? He'll get the offense. What's he at right now when it comes to executing what they want to do in the passing game? Vedral's money. That kid is such a tough ball player. I loved how gritty he was against Minnesota and against Indiana. So he is such a luxury to have at quarterback to go to or to turn to if things don't get done with Adrian. But ultimately, I want to see Adrian get comfortable with this group of wide receivers. We've kind of outlined how nice we think the offensive line can be. We've kind of outlined, all right, you've got Mills at I-back. The offense is good. Last thought here is the receiving stuff, and that is – the names we've mentioned, what redshirt freshmen step up in Nansen and Houston. Hickman's big, but Elijah, let's talk tight end for a minute here. I mean, Austin Allen's a good ball player. Austin Allen's a big ball player, and I don't know if he's just been underutilized or it just hasn't worked out, but, you know, he has hit very few, but he's hit some splash plays when it comes to being able to get by linebackers, and they've gone double tight end. I think Nebraska has options here with Vokolek, and just talking to some folks that have seen him a little bit. I mean, I think he could be really nice. You could have a really nice couple of tight ends between Vokolek, Stoll, and Austin Allen. That's three tight ends I threw out there. But add that element to the offense, and I kind of harken back to Central Florida, where they were able to really do some incredible things on offense with their tight ends and flexing guys out, right? Think of Gronk flexing out. I'm not saying we've got Gronk on the Nebraska football team, but just that option to have a bigger body mixed in with some quicker personnel. You can do whatever the hell you want on offense.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Vokolek can do. I think with those three guys, you have Austin Allen, Jack Stoll, and Vokolek, it makes me think Hickman's going to be playing a lot more receiver this year. Could we see him down the line?
Both.
Could we see him down the line coming back to the tight end position and being that Gronk guy who's going to be your receiving threat?
Yep. Time-wise, we got to step out. We'll get Greg Smith on the horn. And we are down here at FanFest with the NSAA Girls State 2020. Hail Varsity on the road here in the rail yard.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio. It is a road show Friday. We are down here in the rail yard, the NSAA Girls State Fan Fest in the rail yard, brought to you by the Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau. There are so many kids here going MJ or Iverson or Magic or Kobe. I mean, the jump shots are pure. Look at that. There's a left-handed finish over a big man. I'm gonna film it. A left-handed finish over big man, 80 feet from where Big Ten teams play. It's going to leave that there. We say hi to Greg Smith with HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith on HV. Greg, how are we doing?
I am doing well. I have a question, though. Are they working on free throw?
Well, these are the youth of Nebraska. They are more worried about two-foot stops, gathers, and then finishes in the paint. Free throws are easy.
Okay. All right.
And Nebraska shot like 15 to 18 last night.
They were
80%,
true.
I think.
That's true. Maybe we should cut them a break on that.
Well, 21 turnovers, no. No, that was tough. That was tough last night. We're going to keep it positive, though, since it's Friday. Let's talk nose guard, all right? Let's talk nose guard. Let's talk spring positions. And left guard, right guard, we've spent some time on earlier in the show. Quarterback and wide out. Greg, what do you believe happens? Who makes a bigger dent this spring? Does Keem Green realize that time is ticking despite a red shirt last year? Or does Damian kind of take over? Because Damian's been in camp a long time. You've seen him dominate. And I think of the Iowa game in 18 when he came in, the run game shut down for the Hawkeyes. But you haven't seen him do it a lot. They went JUCO, grad transfer with older brother Darian. Who steps forward this spring? We have two options if you're a Nebraska fan, but who emerges?
Yeah, I think the hopeful answer is you have them both step up. I think it's impactful, though, if Damian is the guy that takes a step forward after having a year to learn kind of under and with his brother, knowing that he feels like a guy that has so much potential still that we haven't seen. So to see him be able to give that reach that type of potential for sustained periods of time, like you're not going to have a nose guard out there playing every snap, right? But if he can get up to the 60%, 65% range for snaps holding down the middle of that defense, I think that you'd be thrilled with that. And then have a capable guy come in behind him and be able to spell him. I think that that would be an ideal situation.
Greg Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter is where you follow him. So how much four down look could you get from Nebraska moving forward? And I ask that because, look, you got Ty Robinson on the interior. You've got Keem Green. You've got Darian Daniels. I will get it right. Damian, forgive me. You got Daniels inside there. And listen, could Nebraska go four down if they want? Could they pull a Wisconsin, so to speak, and do more even front?
They could. I mean, you throw Jordan Riley into the mix there. Then you have some guys that would be able to play on the outside. You've Ben Stilley, DeAndre Thomas, Casey Rogers, Tate Wildeman. There's guys that could play that. You could even have a pass rushing situation where you slide Caleb Tanner down to the defensive end and kind of let him just turn him loose and they get after the quarterback. I think that everything probably should be on the table, at least a part of the coaching bag, so to speak, to be able to get that out there. I don't know if they'd go to that the majority of the time, but I do think that it should be something that's in the arsenal as a changeup.
Greg, what are you hearing as far as, you know, the progress a guy like Bryce Benhart's made to be ready for that right tackle spot?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, people love Bryce Benhart. I think that behind the scenes, sees everything that people thought he was going to be coming in here. And one of the things that I'm kind of interested to see when we get a chance to get a look at him here, hopefully sometime next week or whenever it is that we see him, is just how much more filled out he is. Remember, he's a legitimate 6'7", 6'8", 300 pounds last year after putting the weight back on from wrestling. But now with the year fully in strength and conditioning for a full year, when he got out there to play last season in bits and pieces, he looked like he held his own. Definitely didn't stand out as a true freshman getting his feet wet out there. So I'm excited to see his progress. I think they're excited to see it as well, which could spurn some changes along that offensive line.
Right. I mean, that's the domino. You get Benhart at right tackle. You move Farniok down to guard. And what's your take on Farniok when you look at his strengths? How does he translate maybe from right tackle that he's played his whole career at Nebraska, even as a young pup? What skill set translates to him at guard? Where could he thrive at that spot, in your opinion? What makes him a really nice option? He is, but what's your take on his attributes?
Yeah, I think that he's better in small spaces. I think that he's a good guy. Once he gets his hands on you, he's powerful enough to move you. It's just, is he quick enough laterally to be able to really hang with some of those rush ends and outside linebackers that you're going to see from the really good defenses in this conference, right? You start to think about Nebraska playing Penn State this year, Iowa, Ohio State especially. He has tough times against those teams on the edge, so I think that he'd just be better suited to play inside. And you could have a really nice combination, especially if he goes over to left guard to play next to Brendan Hymus. You'd have a lot of experience and strength on that side of the line.
You would, and I love that idea where you've got, you know, the couple of plows, right? Where you got Hymus and Farniok on one side. Would that be too risky to not have a veteran on the right side? I mean, you could run all day behind that left side if you got Hymus and Farniok and Juergens, great. But would you be in trouble on the right side because of the inexperience in youth? And it's not that Wilson or Hickson can't go win a guard spot, but I think there's some real excitement. We were talking with Rob Zadiska earlier this week about a guy at that right guard spot, like a Piper. I mean, Ethan Piper's causing some murmurs, and that's a good thing. You also have a guy in Turner Corcoran is highly ranked as Nebraska's gotten on a line. That's a big ask as a true freshman to see snaps, but you never know, right? I mean, that's intriguing, but would it hurt Nebraska's right side?
Maybe, but the thing is if it's, let's say it's either Wilson or Hickson, that ultimately win that battle on the right side, and I'd give them the leg up just because of the experience factor over Piper, even though you're right, people are really excited about Ethan. They've played a lot of football as well, right? And so because of that, I think either of them, especially Wilson, who played a lot of snaps, would be considered a veteran guy over there. But he just has to take some steps forward, as does Hickson, which is what would make that battle so interesting, is that, you know, you're one bad day from being rotated out of there throughout this spring. So how Greg Austin divvies up the reps to be able to determine who's going to play where will also be an interesting storyline.
Give me three names you're really, really excited about watching this spring.
Boy, I think that Ramir Johnson is one that comes to mind right away. I still think that there's a lot of thought about Sevion Morrison and Marvin Scott coming in this summer and maybe being able to steal that number two running back spot away from him. But I think that Ramir might have something to say about that and remind people of why the staff liked him so much. Chris Hickman is another one. I'm really looking forward to seeing if he ends up staying on the outside to play more wide receiver, especially given the numbers there and the numbers inside at tight end already with guys who are a little bit more physically developed. And then on the defensive side, give me Nick Henrich is a guy that I'm excited about. If he's healthy, I feel like he's a guy that reminds everyone why he was a top 100 recruit coming out of Omaha Burke and could really make some noise this spring.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio, recruiting hit, recruiting recon. We do this every Friday with Mr. Greg. Follow him on Twitter at GregSmithHV. Give us a Thomas Fedoni update. What's happening with Nebraska here as things get rolling with spring? I mean, spring's an opportunity for a ton of unofficials, correct?
Yeah, it definitely is. The one thing I mean, to keep an eye on with him for visits, at least, remember, he's been in Nebraska a ton of times. He may have been in Nebraska more than Iowa, where he's been a lot as well. So I don't know how soon he'll be getting back. I know Nebraska will be trying to get him here. He'll be going out to Notre Dame and Michigan, two places that he has not been yet. Ohio State offered him last night. So basically every school within the region that a kid growing up here would want, he has. So he has Michigan, he has Notre Dame, he has Ohio State, he has Nebraska, who he grew up a fan of, he has Iowa, who's in his home state. So he does not lack for options. The key thing for me here to watch is does he continue down his planned path to make a decision before his senior year? Does he get those officials in this summer, or does he need to push it a little bit to get more of a look at these other schools?
What's your take? What do you think he does? Do you think you know what? I mean, that'd be great to get it out of the way, but man, I mean, there. By the way, where's Clemson and Alabama at, or have they offered?
I don't think Clemson has. I'm not sure on Alabama. Maybe I get them confused. Did they? Yeah, they did because they offered both Bowlers and Fedoni the same day. Yeah. I think he still ends up making the decision before his senior season. I also still think that Nebraska's in a good spot here. But it's going to be tough. Like, it is really difficult when all of these schools, frankly, with better recent tight end histories, can come in and say, hey, we're already doing this, or do you really want to go start that at Nebraska? That can be a powerful pitch, but I know that they're high on Nebraska. We'll see if those other schools can make a dent in that.
If you're a tight end, and I'm going to get electrocuted for saying this, but if you're a tight end man and Iowa knocks on your door, how do you not say yes based on what they've done?
See, the thing with me for Iowa is it also depends on, like, if because Iowa's a school that is not for everybody, right? And so it's not
kind of like Nebraska, the state,
some other school.
Right?
It's not as glamorous of a school. It's like, say, if you go to Notre Dame, like, that feels a little bit bigger, right? It just kind of also depends on how you viewed Iowa growing up, being the kid from Iowa, but it's basically Nebraska. So that also plays into it as well.
Greg, what do you got coming up this weekend?
We're getting ready for the season. Greg's guys is coming up, or for the spring. Greg's guys is coming up, so I'll be working on that because that'll be dropping next week. But otherwise, starting to get the ducks in a row for the big media extravaganza on Monday.
Can't wait. We will see you at Memorial Stadium on Monday, Greg. Thanks for jumping on today.
Hey, thanks as always. Have a good weekend, guys.
There he is. That's Greg Smith. We're down here in the rail yard. Jeff Maul, Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's going to check in with us next. Hail Varsity from the Rail Yard, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio Road Show Friday. We're here at the Hail Varsity offices, the balcony here in the Rail Yard, the NSAA Girls State Fan Fest going on in the Rail Yard, brought to you by the Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau and some awesome sponsors and vendors to come check out. Fleet Feet, Triple B, Bison, of course, the Nebraska Sports Council. I'm going to see a one-on-one matchup between Mr. Maul, Jeff Maul, and Dave Minarek. I'm not going to hedge where I'd bet. But welcome in, Jeff Maul, Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau. Minarek's going to punch me when he sees me. Jeff, congrats on another, well, I'm going to blame the weather on you, another gorgeous day in Lincoln for state tournament basketball.
Chamber weather, right? I mean, we're super excited about this. And I was just trying to think about, how am I going to beat Minarek on the basketball court? The guy's scrappy. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking if I pull up from the top of the key, it's ice all night long.
You're going to be raining threes, and that's what you can do when you come down to the Rail Yard. And it's really cool because you've got different high schools' logos on the jumbo cube and team pictures. So yeah, it's really, really special to see kids from all over the state here that are being recognized. You have basketball going. The Bison folks brought some hoops. Kids are launching from three. And it's awesome. Kids are smiling, and of course, you got semis tonight. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy in the Pinnacle Bank Arena right across the way here. And this rail yard event that we have going on right now is just such a great space. The proximity to Pinnacle Bank Arena. This is the first time we've done it. We're going to do it again next Friday, mm-hmm, for boys basketball. And it's a contagious type event that the guys can come out, guys and girls, and come out and shoot some hoops. It just continues the experience of what state high school basketball is in the city of Lincoln.
That experience is so great. And championship Saturday tomorrow, it's such a battle to get there. And then you have folks, obviously, pretty Lincoln heavy for the semis and potentially state. That's really cool. But you got so many folks from the Panhandle coming in, from northeast Nebraska, from central Nebraska, southeast. I mean, you have the whole state that congregates. I mean, only a select few get to earn their way to state. And once they're here, you've got a laundry list of things they can go do aside from stopping by the Rail Yard.
We got a lot of things to do. And I think really when we think about how Lincoln compares to the rest of the state, we're an extension of the rest of the state, rural Nebraska. People love coming to the capital city. They love the shopping amenities, all the great things going on in the community. And to call Lincoln home in March, I've talked to so many people from western Nebraska, those from Scottsbluff and mm-hmm, Gehring and north, you know, west, all over the place. They say, Lincoln's our home in March. We want to be there. And every kid in the state of Nebraska, whether it's basketball or volleyball or football, their dream is to play where the Huskers play.
Yeah.
Pinnacle Bank Arena, the Devaney Center, Memorial Stadium. And, man, what a great destination we have. And where you and I are standing right now, this was a rail yard.
Yeah.
Before Pinnacle Bank Arena was
before
built,
PBA,
this was a rail
this
yard.
This was gravel. This was train tracks. This was, you name it. I mean,
yeah,
you and I are both Lincoln guys, and I remember 30, 35 years ago, you've got one or two spots to come check out down here.
Yeah.
And we fast forward to getting our driver's licenses, getting out of high school, getting out of college, and this vision's been insanely awesome.
It's a great destination, and to be with the Convention and Visitors Bureau and to have a community-wide effort to help make these things happen, that tells about the pride that people have about our community. But again, to be able to sell this destination statewide, mm-hmm, and globally,
yeah,
Lincoln, Nebraska's on the map, and this is a lot of fun. Happy to be here, and just happy we have so many great teams, north, south, east, west, and this is a big night for A Street.
Oh, big time. I mean, it's Pius, it's Lincoln East. East will be ready to rock and roll against Fremont at 8:45, and Motzi will have that coverage for you on ESPN Lincoln. And I will have with Coach Berta is sitting in with me today.
Great.
From Southwest,
yep.
Millard South, and Pius. And Coach Posota's about 40 minutes away or so from joining us. And, yeah, I mean, we're talking, it could be the A Street Brawl part two. We mean that lovingly, of course, for the state championship. I know that your friends in Fremont, and I know folks at Millard South will have something to say about that tonight. But
yeah,
girls basketball in the state's incredible.
There's a lot of great talent. I mean, you look across the board, you look at some of the girls who were competing yesterday and those that are competing today. there's a lot of people out watching entire teams, not just individuals, mm-hmm. and just so much pride. And I'll tell you, this A Street rivalry tonight that we're looking at, two teams going in two different brackets, going to the same destination tomorrow. It is Destination Saturday right now. It is mm-hmm. where you want to be. Great television partners across the state. And, you know, we've had a great time trying to put these things together. We pray for the weather every year. And you and I are sitting here for girls basketball, and
doors
we're looking
open.
Out the window, doors open. And next week I'm looking at long-term forecast, knock on wood, I think we're going to be okay.
I think we'll be great. And, you know, you don't have any Lincoln teams next week, but you have once-in-a-generation talent that you're going to be watching during March Madness, maybe at Nebraska, maybe at Kansas, maybe at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
That descends on Lincoln next weekend along with some of the other classes.
Right, and when was the last time we had this much D1 talent on the court, especially next week when you look at it? I mean, we got some great talent this week, don't get me wrong.
No, you have D1 talent now for girls, you're going to have D1 talent for boys.
I mean, we're talking about people, I mean, you know, these are guys next week that have D1 top 10 team mm-hmm. offers on their kitchen table which one do I go?
And they haven't blinked.
What do I do?
Yeah, these D1 schools haven't, these top 10 schools haven't blinked about, you know, some of the talent up in the metro, and it is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It is going to be really good, and you're going to want to come down and check that out. We'll be covering that as well on ESPN Lincoln. Excited about that. Jeff, you do the first and 10, mm-hmm. and that is awesome. You give folks some thoughts on what's going on, and you get done with state swimming. We have state girls basketball now. You have boys basketball on the horizon. If folks come see you at your office, just really not far from PBA, just kind of, let's just call it like a flag route to the end zone.
Okay, I got that. Okay, down,
you go,
out.
You go
okay.
straight and you go out.
You going to hit me with the ball?
I will put enough loft on it that it'll be wonderful for social media.
Right.
But folks can come check in with you if they're, okay, so they're not coming down this time, but they can come kind of get the look-see of what to go do in Lincoln.
Yeah, our visitor center is up here at 7th and P Street, so that's that little flag route that you just talked
yes.
to me about. Right, here we are, 7th and P Street.
Look at Johnny Mitchell, right? Just going straight
yeah.
out.
Right, Charmin Soft Hands,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah, Johnny Mitchell.
I'm going to be there. Our staff's going to be there throughout the rest of the year. That's where kind of our central tourism hub mm-hmm. is. Our main office at 1128 Lincoln Mall. We've got a huge event summer coming up, a lot of really cool things through the summer and fall. This is just the tip of the iceberg mm-hmm. for state high school type events. We're going to roll into DECA and FCCLA and FFA.
Nice.
So when people are in town, stop at our visitor center at 7th and P. We've got a 5-foot-tall bobblehead of Abraham Lincoln in there, my friend. Have you seen Abe yet?
I need to come see Abe.
Schmitty, come
on,
man.
I need to come get a picture with you and Abe.
Yeah, it's a good time. We got a little version of him down here underneath the screen, right? We put a hoops outfit on
him.
Well,
that is good.
Look at that jersey.
He's got the tank top on. He's got the top hat and the shades.
Yeah.
I think he is rocking the Adidas.
I think those are your shades, by the way.
Well, yeah, no kidding, right? I got those. Jeff Mall's with us. So Lincoln.org is where folks can log on.
Yep.
And if you're in from out of town, you're just checking us out, or if you're in Lincoln, come and enjoy the festivities. Come celebrate just the culmination of hard work and state basketball. And yes, the weather.
Oh, man.
Jeff Mall made the weather happen.
So excited, guys. And we hope to see everybody down here at Lincoln CVB on social media, Facebook. We're out there. Come see us. There's lots of great things going on in the community.
That's Jeff Mall, and it was good to see him. We're down here in the rail yard, winding down Hour 1. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you. We're winding down this first hour. Hail Varsity Radio on the road here at the rail yard ahead of Girls State. The semis tonight. And the State Fan Fest going on, Girls State NSAA, Girls State Fan Fest in the rail yard. Brought to you by the Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau. Kids still shooting hoops, playing bean bags. It's really awesome, and you're invited down. If you're making your way down in front of Millard, South Pius, or Fremont and East, get something cold to drink, get a burger, enjoy yourself down here in the rail yard. A reminder here about our friends at West Blue Realty. And with West Blue Realty, they can make this 2020 move a painless one for you, because West Blue Realty specializes in residential home sales in Lincoln and the surrounding communities. And when you mention Hail Varsity, you can get up to $1,000 off the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby and Kelly Hofschneider, they make it happen at West Blue Realty. Tom Luby's number to give him a call is 402-540-3768. Kelly Hofschneider, 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue Realty, westbluerealty.com. And if you're looking to make a move on some agricultural land, they can sell that for you as well. And they've got an auctioneer. They have sealed bids. They have general land listings. They have sold land in Seward, Otto, and Lancaster counties. They can help you out. WestBlueRealty.com. When you're in town for state ball, go see West Blue today, 1120 K Street, Suite 200. All right, Bill Dolman's coming up, the Pride of Fairbury, Ryan Pasota, the head coach of Pius Girls Basketball. And we will have a Friday forecast. We have a slew of really good basketball. Elijah, at what point did you stop watching, or did you endure the Nebraska game last night?
I stopped watching after halftime. I had homework to do, and I knew the second half run from Michigan was going to be coming. And I checked my phone about 10 minutes into the second half, and I was right.
You were right. I had it on after I wrapped up my game, and it's just too predictable. And again, you know, Hoiberg is right. It's not an effort thing. They just don't have enough horses. And for them, you know, for them to lose Cam back and for them to have to go forward, they've played their best ball when they've been down guys, and they've had different guys either get suspended or get the flu or something. But you were able to get some info as to maybe why Cam had to sit at the police station.
Well, yeah, he was in a hit and run on Wednesday about noon, where he hit a woman. Traffic had stopped in front of him, and he wasn't paying attention or something, and had rear-ended her. And then as she was getting out, he just pulled around her car and continued driving to his house, apparently. And when police got there, they said, "Well, why'd you drive away?" He said, "I didn't think I hit her." Which, okay. I mean, he had, as the officer said, $1,200 worth of damage to the front of his car estimated. So it's pretty obvious that he hit her. So it raises to me some character questions.
Well, and you hope you just the whole. I go back to like Dumb and Dumber the movie. You know, like you got fired again, huh? Well, yeah, they tend to freak out when you flee the scene of an accident. It's no good.
Yeah, in this case, you tend to get suspended from basketball games.
Yeah, you can't love tap somebody and then go home. Bill Dolman's coming up. The Pride of Fairbury will join us. And Ryan Pasota, head coach of Pius Girls, next hour.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, down here in the rail yard as it is Fan Fest time. Good folks at Bison have hoops up here in the rail yard, and so many kids, man, before they head into this A semifinal, are shooting hoop, playing one-on-one. No, I have not seen a game of 21 breakout yet, but that would be awesome. I love 21. Now, you love 21 so much that it was great in the old Schmidt driveway to lower the hoop to tip dunk height for those of us that can't jump or elevate. It was pretty low, but it was a good time. Some beanbags going on, and big time ball game tonight. Pius for girls state the semi against Millard South, and then you have the folks from Fremont making the trip down against East. Could have an all Lincoln final. They got a picture of the Wahoo Warriors 2019-2020 squad on the cube. Really good setup here in the rail yard. It'll happen next week as well for boys state. 466-3776 466-3776 800-825 5865. So, Elijah, do we have Bill?
We do not.
Because he just texted me back and says, hey, yeah, I'm just waiting.
Just waiting? I'm getting sent to voicemail. Try one more time, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, try him. So the Pride of Fairbury will join us. I can't wait to get his thoughts on spring ball, on Spielman, and specifically this thought about Monday night movement with play-by-play and color. Is ESPN ready to get serious about Monday night football again in the form of Al Michaels and Peyton Manning? Bill's been in the national broadcast arena for a lot of years. Okay, so let's bring in Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, and we say hi to Bill Dolman. Dolman, there are people all over the rail yard here with girls' state basketball going on. Boys' state is next weekend. It's got to bring back some memories for you.
Oh, yeah, the 1983 State High School Basketball Championships when we went all the way to the state championship game and lost to Elkhorn Mount Michael in the final game, in a game that we probably should have won since the – but again, the de facto championship game was the night before in the state semifinals when we beat Seward at a sold-out Pershing Auditorium that basically the entire state and much of the five-state region wanted to see. Because they locked the doors. But nevertheless, yeah, so there's good memories. And, you know, I know people are still talking about my free throw performance in the quarterfinal round when I set the all-time Bob Devaney Sports Center record for free throws made in the game.
Hold on. This is not BS, Dolman.
No.
Break out this record book. You're etched in granite. What happened with your free throw performance?
I don't need to get into detail. Let's just put it this way. I didn't miss a shot. So
ever?
Not in that. Well, yeah, I guess ever. that would not include Mo Iba's basketball camp circa 1981 or 82. But nevertheless, I have an all-time record for free throws made percentage made in Bob Devaney Sports Center history.
Well, can't take that attempts? Away from me. How many attempts? How many attempts?
Well, that's not relevant. It's percentage.
So Dolman's one for one in garbage time.
No. I'm twice that, bro.
Two for two.
That's
well
right.
Done.
But
you're not 8 for 30, though.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, right. Yeah. They could have used me, I guess.
That was pretty good. Bill Dolman's with us. Sale Varsity Radio at Bill Dolman on Twitter.
Now, people are still talking about it, too, I'm sure.
No, your picture is clearly up, soon to be up anyway, in the Pinnacle Bank Arena.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to this spring from Nebraska football? And let me ask you this. You've been to a lot of press conferences, a lot of years covering Nebraska. What do you want to hear from Scott Frost on Monday?
You know, I no panic, and I don't think you'll hear any panic. I don't think you'd hear panic from Scott Frost if his house was on fire or robbed. But I think for the most part, you know, I think he has a plan. Is it tough to go through on the outside of it? Sure. But after all that we've been through for two decades and with the right guy for the job in charge, I think, you know, Nebraska fans need to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey because it's going to get better. you know, I get a kick out of the panic that Nebraska fans have when you consider the alternative where I happen to be exiled in Colorado. Nobody there, I've told you this many, many times, nobody cares about Colorado football except for on those games in which they play Nebraska, right? So Nebraska has a press conference on Monday with Scott Frost, and everybody's going to be all ears as to what the head coach has to say. There are people in Denver who have no idea that Mel Tucker left. They have no idea that Carl Doral is the new head coach at Colorado. All right? So enjoy the journey. Enjoy the fact that we care. And enjoy the process to where this program is going to go because you could be where I am and nobody cares. And Scott should be thankful that he's in a program where people do care. You know, so he needs to appreciate you know, where he is, because it still is one of the great jobs in all of college football. Hey, I don't know what Nebraska fans really want to hear, you know, and I think it's probably just a small minority of people who are going to be glued to their Spark-O-Matic speakers, you know, listening and hanging on every word that Scott Frost has to say. I think for the vast majority of Nebraska fans, they like the guy, they understand the process, and they're looking forward to a great day for the spring game and next fall, and hopefully things are better. But you do have the face painters at BW3 or whatever it is now, Buffalo Wild Wings, who don't know a whole hell of a lot, but they sure want to sound smart around their friends.
Bill Dolman's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. No, I mean, there's some position battles you want to see. Here's what I want to see, and I think all Nebraska fans are like that as well, and that's just closing games better, right? A little more organization in some tight games because, you know, if things get better next season, you've got that close to the 2020 season, there's going to be one possession ball games. Are you better at executing? That's coaching, and then that's ultimately players going and doing their thing. I think one narrative that Nebraska fans are tired of, and I don't know how much it's going to be brought up, but it's not that Scott Frost is wrong when he's talking culture, because that is important. But the reality is, you know, there's been references to the old staff quite a bit, and folks are ready to move on from that. I might be in the minority here, but I think that's still relevant. I think you got poisoned by the past staff, and it's not that Riley's a bad dude or his kids on his staff are bad people. But he just had a different management style that told everybody that went 4-8 it was okay. And, that, you know, you're working hard, and I don't think they worked hard enough.
And, yeah, you bring in a certain type of player that doesn't necessarily fit the mold of what Nebraska football and, you know, these days Big Ten football is all about. What you had was a wonderful guy who brought his Oregon State recruiting philosophy to Nebraska. And you went after guys who I think for the most part were looking to get, you know, a college scholarship to a place that had all the bells, whistles, and toys. And it was just like they were drafted, you know, into the NFL and they got a $1 million check. Well, for some of these guys, getting an Xbox and a whole bunch of shoes and nice sweatsuits, okay, they made it. You know, they did what they were supposed to do in high school, and now you just kind of ride it out and you don't have that certain toughness that it takes. And Scott certainly understands that. So, yeah, did he bring in bad people? No, I don't think that's necessarily the case. But I don't think that you have a team that's heavily populated by players who understand what Nebraska is all about, Nebraska football is all about, and, you know, that appreciate the history of Nebraska football. And by Scott, you know, digging deeper, you know, back into the walk-on program and getting kids from Nebraska to stick around and take a chance, and I think that's really significant, because even though, you know, there are guys on this football program now who weren't even born when Nebraska won its last national championship, there's enough Husker football lore being, you know, talked about at every Playmore Cafe from, you know, from Falls City to Bassett, that, you know, that keeps that alive. And so those players are brought up on the fact that Nebraska football is still one of the marquee programs, and they understand what it was about back in the day, way back in the 90s, but they get it. And so those guys, again, who weren't born when Nebraska football was, you know, putting together the greatest run in the history of college football, they get it, though, and they want dad and grandpa and the uncles on the farm to be proud that they're the ones who helped, you know, cultivate Nebraska football and bring it back to what it was. That's why it's so important to get those kids who, and not necessarily all Nebraska kids, they're, you know, they're kids in Iowa and Kansas and Colorado and South Dakota and all those surrounding states. They get it. You know, they understand what Nebraska football was because, you know, there are enough people who are Nebraska fans in those states who talk about Tom Osborne and talk about the 90s and the option and all that. I still hear people talking about the option these days, you know. That's one of the things I hope Scott, you know, I do hope that Scott, as he grows as a coach, I hope we get away from, you know, being a little too cute offensively when you get the ball first and goal at the 3-yard line and you throw some passes and end arounds and all that stuff. And the next thing you know, you're kicking a field goal from the 13. You know, just run the ball, you know, just run it in and let your offensive line get some confidence. That's what let's get back to the basics and quit being cute. We were better when we were ugly.
Bill, got to get your thoughts on the Spielman situation. Do you think things work out and JD's back in the summer?
Well, you certainly hope so. It's very curious. I can't recall whether I was intimately involved in Nebraska football or somebody on the outside in the business. I can't recall somebody taking us, essentially most of a semester off to go back home. I find that odd, but I'm sure that they've got some type of special dispensation for him to do it. If the real story is he doesn't want to be there anymore, then okay. Next man up, That's the way it has to be. And the program can't revolve around, one guy. It can't revolve around Adrian Martinez, and he's still around. It can't revolve around J.D. Spielman, and whether or not he's going to come back. You got to go with the guys who want to be there. And there might be somebody who's in that wide receiver room, and I know it's not overly populated, but there might be somebody with a whole lot of heart who's ready to go. And maybe one of those, running backs is going to get a chance. Maybe it's your backup quarterback, maybe you get a little crafty with him and open things up. So I think those are things that if he doesn't want to be there, I'm sorry, but I can remember some guys who are five-star recruits and they got everything kind of handed to them, 20 years ago. And next thing you know, it's like, wait a minute, this is a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be. And I don't want to be here anymore. Well, okay. Find somebody else that does. So I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, he's a great player. He got a great football lineage. But if he wants to be there, great, and come back, and Nebraska's welcoming with open arms, great. If not, next guy is going to be great.
Bill, I'm with you. I don't think he's coming back personally. I'd love to have him back, but I think the writing's on the wall. But I want to ask you, with the three major men's sports all kind of playing at the same time, we got baseball starting up, home opener this weekend, I got basketball finishing up their season, now spring football starting. Of those programs, do you think Nebraska football is going to reach a championship game first, Nebraska baseball is going to reach a super regional, or Nebraska basketball is going to reach an NCAA tournament? What's the time frame here?
I think all three of them will be playing for national championships next year. I don't think there's any question about
Bill
it. I have
Dolman.
Every confidence in it, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I look for great things from Bill Straub's bowling team. So that's the way I look at my Huskers. But I think Scott's got the direction. I think Fred Hoiberg has endured a team that I've said it many times is still wearing name tags to practice. And that'll get turned around in due time, and it's probably quicker to turn things around in basketball than a big ship like football. Mm-hmm. And Will Bolt, let's face it, it's kind of learning on the job. He's got a couple of impressive wins along the way, and what, four losses by one or two runs? That's not bad. I'm sure it's kind of frustrating. But to beat Baylor and Arizona State, that's nice. And then when you get into a rivalry situation like they've got this weekend with Columbia coming in, you just throw out the records and hope that enough people get there early to fill the seats and get the seat they want, or fill the berms, because it's probably going to be a spectacular baseball atmosphere when Nebraska and Columbia hook up once again.
Bill, got a minute, buddy. What do you got coming up this weekend on NBC Sports?
I'm doing one of the eeriest things I've ever called in my career.
Beer pong?
No, we're back to the Biathlon World Championships. And again, if they're skiing and shooting at targets, it's Biathlon. If they're shooting at each other, it's Bond. But because of the coronavirus, the competition in Nové Mesto, Czech Republic, which is just an absolutely beautiful area. It's one of the great things about biathlon and cross country, the scenes you get to see of the rest of the world. But because of the coronavirus, they have shut the competition off to 100,000 fans. And so we've had a couple of shows where you hear the slushing of the skis and the firing of the rifle, and that's about it. And typically, it's pretty good. Biathlon and cross-country skiing, biathlon more than the other, is much more of an Oktoberfest feel no matter what month it is.
Sure.
So you kind of miss the raucous crowds, who hinge on every shot. But we're doing a biathlon out of Czech Republic, and we've got cross-country skiing out of Norway, which is also shutting its doors to probably 40,000 fans tomorrow for, two of the biggest races that they'll have in the world. And but looking forward to a couple of weeks when the World Cup returns to America. for the first time in 20 years, and it's pretty cool to be a part of that and be on Big Boy NBC here on March 17th.
Bill, we'll get caught up. Thanks so much, bud.
All right, go Big Red, and good luck in those championship games.
And now.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Semifinals going on tonight here, 7 o'clock tip. Pius in action against Millard South. East follows against Fremont. You can hear that on ESPN. Lincoln, we're here in the rail yard. The sun off to the west is dimming down a little bit. We welcome in the head coach of Pius the 10th. Girls, as they are charging for a state championship. Ryan Pasoda is with us. Coach, how are we doing?
Good, Chris. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, no worries. So are you? Have you parked yet at PBA? Where's the trip at?
We are in PBA. Kids are watching the last 2 minutes of Beatrice and Scott's Bluff.
Okay, well, good enough. So, Coach, talk to me about this season, your expectations, and how your girls have kind of navigated their own expectations, your expectations, just one loss on the year. You've had an incredible run.
Yeah, you know, we have a very deep group of kids that are really close-knit and really do well from day to day. They're very steady and consistent in what they do. And so, you know, we feel really good about the season we've had and hope to continue one more step getting through tonight.
Ryan Pasoda is with us, head coach of Pius, the Pius girls in action against Millard South. And that'll tip off at 7 o'clock on ESPN Lincoln. Coach, when it comes to your practices and culture, folks have seen Pius ball for quite a while, and they've seen you as the head guy for quite a while now as well. But touch on when you get a freshman or you're coaching that senior, that journey you have, and specifically the teaching you do. I mean, the coaching/teaching you do. Tell me a little bit about your style and your approach to connect with the kids.
Yeah, you know, we're very fortunate at Pius to have really good kids, really good families, really good support, and kids that just come to Pius because they expect we're going to win and know we're going to do everything we can for those kids to make it a great experience and to push them out of their comfort zone and, you know, ultimately get down here every year if we can.
Ryan Pasoda's with us here, Hale Varsity Radio. He's just across the street. We're here in the rail yard. Pius and Millard South get after it here at 7 o'clock, and it is an incredible experience. With your team this year, what's been, I guess, the biggest surprise for you with this group? I mean, you're supposed to be good coming in. You've hit that expectation. Yeah. But what's kind of surprised you? What do you smile about with this group?
I think that just the way that this group of kids is ready to compete every day, every game. You know, they're kind of play fearless, and you know, I kind of expect that every game they're going to come out and play their best and give it their all. And we usually have a pretty good game plan, game to game. And we, to be quite honest, haven't played a lot of close games this season. And so, just a real deep group of kids that really compete and you know, are really, really good basketball players.
Touch on the matchup tonight. I was courtside watching Millard South and Southwest, and Southwest, really good season this year. East has been tremendous. You've been fantastic. Millard South is one of those teams that, along with yourselves, is if you want to say favorite, has been a favorite. And what do you expect tonight, and what have you had to say to your gals, or maybe you haven't yet, but it's a really big-time matchup tonight. It's what you play for. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this has kind of been a game that most of the media has put on the schedule all season, and, you know, it's just a great opportunity for two really good basketball programs and a bunch of really good basketball players to go out and try to do their best and put on a show and get one step closer to the ultimate goal of a state championship. But also, you know, it's really kind of fulfilling for us to see two other of our hack opponents on is still in the bracket as well. So it really says a good deal for the conference and the quality of basketball that we have in our area.
What are some concerns you may have for Millard South tonight? I mean, you guys will be ready. You'll give great effort, but they're pretty talented.
They are very talented. You know, everything they do starts with their two seniors, two really experienced kids who have been at it for 4 years, and they're not Division I players for nothing. So starts with Kroll and Moran, obviously, but they've got a talented supporting cast as well. Terrific athletes that like to pressure you the full length of the floor for the whole game. And, you know, they're well coached. They run a good system, and it's just going to be a good test for us.
Ryan Posada's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, ahead of Pius and Millard South tonight. Coach, kind enough to jump on the show with us as he's over at PBA getting ready for the 7 o'clock tip. With your kids this season, has there been a theme or a mantra at all? What has been kind of the voice inside that locker room beyond your own? Who's been the leader or two in the locker room for your girls?
Well, you know, we've got four really quality senior kids, and we've got two juniors in Jillian Ashoff and Alexis Markowski that do a lot for our program. And so they really, between the four seniors and the two juniors that are our captains, really set the tone for us. As far as an underlying theme, you know, with our loss last year to Millard North in the semis, I think it's always kind of been just a, you know, what can we do to get the next steps? We were so close last year. What can we do to get over the top? And, you know, extra drills and extra effort every day to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Ryan Posada will have coaches Pius, the 10th Thunderbolts, on at 7 here locally on ESPN Lincoln. And that's a date with Millard South over at PBA. Coach, you're awesome. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. We'll talk to you later, and thanks for jumping on today.
You bet. Thank you, Chris, and good to have you and Coach Barrett on tonight. That'll be a fun broadcast for the two of you.
Well, it'll be awesome. Take care, Coach, and we'll see you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Yep.
All right. That is Ryan Posada with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Awesome guy, really talented coach. He and Coach Markowski, his assistant, so we'll have Pius later. Motzi will have East. East, a really awesome team. And excited to have Coach Barrett give us some of his time tonight. As Coach Barrett and his Southwest gals, assistant Coach Barrett, really good work this season. Okay, let's talk Monday Night Football. We've got a few minutes. Friday forecast is coming up. So we'll talk some college basketball pick'ems this weekend. But the word is out that ESPN mulling over trying to go get Peyton Manning for Monday Night Football. That's not that shocking. Peyton was reached out to replace Tony Romo for CBS. Peyton Manning did not get back to CBS quick enough from a timeline standpoint, and they paid Romo. And Nance and Romo are good. I mean, that Sunday afternoon 3:30 game on CBS is good for a lot of reasons. It's good because of Romo and Nance, and it's good because the matchup usually doesn't suck, okay? Monday Night Football. I got to ask you, as a football fan, what's turned you off more about Monday Night Football? Has it been the matchups, or has it been the fact that you've got Booger and Tessitore doing the game? And listen, full disclosure, Joe Tessitore does boxing. Joe Tessitore has done a lot of Crawford fights. So we've had a chance to talk to Joe, and Joe was awesome when he was doing college football, the ESPN or ABC game. You know, he was able to do a lot of the 7 o'clock primetime Nebraska games, him and Brock Eward, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. So I like Tessitore as a dude, and I like Tessitore as a play-by-play guy. I think he's phenomenal. I think Booger is flat out awful, and that's not necessarily a unique take. I know there's people who have a problem with him, but I just think he's forced. I think him and Witten were forced. I think Tessitore does a good job. There might be some annoying quirks. We've all got them. I get it. But do you go get Al Michaels and pair him with Peyton Manning? I think the Collinsworth Al Michaels Sunday night thing's great because they're awesome, but also they have really good matchups and they flex schedule pretty well. I mean, Sunday night is your new Monday night, so to speak, for football. Can ABC and ESPN repair Monday Night Football? Yeah. Does that mean Yank and Tess are tore? I don't think so. But I think if you put Tess along with Peyton Manning, I'd watch that. But you just got to get better matchups. And Elijah, I think that's been the biggest issue is Monday night's had some brutal matchups. I don't need Tennessee. I don't need a Andrew Luckless Colts. I don't need the Dolphins on. And it's no fair or no fun because Sunday night's picking ahead of Monday night, and that's just something you got to deal with. But they need to do a better job of scheduling the game of the week on Sunday and Monday night. That's kind of my take.
I agree with you. When you look at the broadcast, my big problem with the broadcast is it feels like they broadcast to the lowest common denominator of the fans. It feels like so many times they assume that I'm just an idiot sitting there at home watching the game. They assume I don't know football, and it makes me want to shut it off because I go, I want insight. I want statistics. I want strategy behind the game. I don't just want to hear what's happening. I can shut off the commentary.
That's different with Romo, isn't it? Romo like will call the play out and then explain it in a way that you're not offended. Booger is just rambling.
Yeah, he's rambling. I mean, when you watch Romo, I will watch any game that Romo broadcasts just because I want to hear how he's going to do the game and what he's going to say. Because it's so interesting. When I watch Booger, I want to shut off the commentary because he's just saying the most obvious stuff.
Booger's just over his head. He's just not a good commentator, says the guy that's in Lincoln doing radio. I get it, and that's not a shot at Lincoln, but you got national level. I understand it. Be careful where you're throwing rocks.
Booger
so
I'm
always cognizant of that, but I think Booger's a joke. I think he was forced, and they need to. Booger's got a place in this world, but it's probably full time on the SEC network or doing something with LSU or, you know, the personality part. I mean, that's what he wants to be versus an analyst. I mean, he wants to be like a brand / personality versus the analyst part. Romo doesn't care. I mean, it's not Tony Romo, former quarterback for Dallas. It's Tony Romo, dude that's having a Corona, telling me about this blitz. That's how I feel.
He's a better broadcaster than he's a quarterback. I am confident in saying that
He wasn't a bad quarterback.
He wasn't a bad quarterback, but he's an elite commentator.
He's really good at it, and he knows it. We'll hear from another elite commentator. Our dear friend Klausburn is coming up. Friday forecast is on the way. We're down here in the rail yard ahead of Fan Fest as folks still shooting hoops, enjoying themselves here in the rail yard. Girls State 2020. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Winding down here, hour two, Hail Varsity Radio in the rail yard for Girls State 2020 as it is Fan Fest time as Millard South and Pi is set to go here. Not an hour and 15 minutes from now, I'll be on the call for that with Coach Tim Berta. And then Motzi will have Lincoln East. That is not part of our Friday forecast. We are not putting odds on nor wagering who wins, although Klausburn probably has a guy who can help you with that if you're looking. Without further ado, we bring in Elijah Herbel, Chris Schmidt, and the infamous Klausburn for another Friday forecast. Klaus, how we doing?
I'm doing okay, but I was hoping we were going to give old Carl a break this week, but apparently not. So feel free to give him a call for all your degenerate needs.
I wasn't thinking of Claus's buddy Carl as a place I could put heat on a Class C2 final.
He tried to put some action on two raindrops falling down a window, whichever one would hit first. He's got to get his fix somehow.
Pretty good. Let's go to Big Ten for basketball. Wisconsin is at Iowa. Whiskey is, man, they started off 8-6, and they have surged forward to tie for the lead in the Big Ten race. They are at Indiana. I think Indiana's in the tournament, probably an 8 or a 9 seed, but does Wisconsin have that reset loss before the Big Ten tournament? I think Indiana's probably underdogged. Maybe by a point and a half. We don't have actual lines, but we're going to set it at -2. Wisconsin I think Indiana shocks Wisconsin. I think that happens, and give me the Hoosiers 65-60 over Wisconsin. That's probably too much defense for Indiana, but that's where I'm going. Elijah?
I'm going to disagree with you here. I think Wisconsin and Brad Davison, I don't like how he plays the game of basketball, but he gets it done. He scores points, and he leads those Wisconsin teams to wins. He's done it for years now. I think he's going to do the same at Assembly Hall tomorrow. What time is this game at? 11 a.m. tomorrow, I think, on ESPN? Yeah.
I think so.
So I got Wisconsin in the morning game, getting it done against Indiana. Give me Wisconsin 74, Indiana 68. Close, but Wisconsin covers.
You know, you mentioned Davison, Brad Davison, and he's like in that Aaron Croft realm of despised people. I mean, he's always checking you for hernia. He got suspended for a game for doing it. Klotzmann, how do you feel here about Wisconsin, Indiana?
Well, I'm a little concerned that any of the traveling Wisconsin fans, those obese, Miller Lite smelling and thick, full mustaches flecked with pits of bratwurst, are going to be extremely distracted by the candy striped pants. So hopefully their husbands are able to reel them in and remind them they're not filled with cheese. But I think the Wisconsin basketball team is pretty good. So I'll take the Badgers 72 and the Hoosiers 67.
5-point win by Whiskey. Let's move to Omaha. Creighton and Seton Hall for the Big East regular season title. The Seton Hall lose twice is the question. They got whacked earlier this week. Creighton, an impressive win out in Jersey. I think Creighton gets it done. I think they keep raining threes. I know they just hit 17 of them. But give me Creighton a win 80-70 over Seton Hall. Elijah?
That home court advantage for Creighton is going to be huge in this game. They already went and got the win on the road at Seton Hall last time, correct? Correct in saying that? I'm making sure my research is correct here. And I think coming back home, they've already got the game plan. Seton Hall is going to have some motivation, so I think it'll be close. But I think Creighton does get it done. I've got high scoring. Creighton 86, Seton Hall 83.
Klaus, what do you got here, Seton Hall or Creighton?
Well, I'll be honest, I really don't know anything about Creighton basketball. You know, a lot of people blame me for not being able to buy a beer at Pinnacle Bank Arena, so you can imagine how disinterested I am in a team that serves Merlot and Brie at their games. So I suppose in this one, I'll take the team that has probably the highest percentage of Argyle sweater vests, and I'll take Creighton 71 and Seton Hall 61.
Baylor is in West Virginia. Baylor's been a little bit more vulnerable. Huggy Bear and company completely out of the rankings, but still 20-9 on the season. I think West Virginia gets Baylor. I know Baylor just got upset by TCU. I think Baylor's bored. I think they're a little distracted. They're waiting for the Big 12 tournament. Give me West Virginia 72-65 over Baylor. Elijah.
Do we have a line on this game?
I'm going to say minus 2, minus 3 Baylor.
Okay, you're going to keep that close. If it's that close, I got Baylor covering. But I don't think the line's going to be that close. I know West Virginia's at home. But I think West Virginia's going to stick around with Baylor. But that Baylor team is really good. They have a really good defense, and I think that they are going to get the win tomorrow. But somewhat close. Give me Baylor, 64 and West Virginia 58.
It's hard because TCU just stung Baylor. But, man, it feels like it's ripe for Huggy Bear's crew to go get that clinching win. They're in, but like that, we're going to solidify you as like a 6 or a 7 seed. Klaus, what do you got here, West Virginia or Baylor?
Well, I really hope West Virginia wins because if you look at the seasons so far this school year, Baylor University has just gone ahead and proven that karma is not a thing at all. With their football and volleyball team, now men's and women's basketball, hell, their rifle team is probably pretty good, which should be scary for anyone who's ever been to Waco. But that said, I'll take West Virginia in this one in the upset, 65 and Baylor 62.
Texas Tech and Kansas Tech was a championship caliber squad a year ago. They're probably back on the right side of the bubble. But KU rolls in. Does Kansas get caught kind of daydreaming or sleepwalking? I think Kansas wins. I think it's scary for them. I think they get it handled 63-60. They escape Lubbock. What do you got for me, Elijah?
I got Kansas rolling. Kansas wins 74-54.
Claus, what do you got here, Kansas or Tech?
Well, I don't know if you fellas saw Kansas's response to the NCAA allegations, but it really read like a giant middle finger to the NCAA. So, really, I'm pretty concerned about how the NCAA is going to now come down really hard on Fort Hays State. I don't think anyone can stop Kansas, not even the NCAA investigation committee. So I'll take Kansas in this one, 75 and Tech 62.
Let's squeeze in Nebraska and Minnesota. Does Nebraska's 14-game losing streak come to a halt Sunday? I say no. Minnesota 74, Nebraska 60. Elijah.
Yeah, Nebraska's going to stick around. I think even maybe give us a little hope in the second half this time around. But they do not get it done, no. I'm saying about the same score as you, 75-62.
Klausburn, what do you got, Nebraska or the Fighting Little Patinos?
Well, I wanted to say that Coach Hoiberg's time in Minnesota should give him a little bit of an idea of how to play and win there. And then I looked at the Timberwolves' record and decided against that. But I can't ever pick against the Huskers. I think we get it done. Nebraska 61 and Minnesota 60.
Look at Klausburn. The streak ends. Good for you, Klaus.
I like the hope.
Yeah, I like the hope, too. I'm out of it. Klaus, have a good weekend.
Okay.
There he goes, Klausburn. We'll wind down a Friday here at the Rail Yard. Hail Varsity Roadshow Friday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, Fan Fest going on here down in the Rail Yard ahead of Girls State 2020. As lots of activity down here. Kids are loving it, man. They are shooting hoops. They are playing knockout. There's so many basketballs bouncing around. It's really awesome. And you're invited down to the Rail Yard this evening and, of course, to tomorrow for Championship Saturday. I want to remind you about buckling up and, of course, drinking and driving. One out of three fatal crashes involves an impaired driver. Driving drunk, buzzed, or high, never acceptable, and law enforcement officers are working around the clock to stop it with sobriety checkpoints and saturation patrols. As a driver, make the correct choice of a non-alcoholic drink or have a pre-established designated driver. Be smart, start the conversation. Who's driving home? Brought to you by the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. So we did have a tweet in earlier at Schmidt underscore radio at Herbal Essences when it comes to special teams. That is wide open, Elijah. Who's kicking, who's punting, and who's returning? Because your return specialist, Spielman, is back home in Minnesota. I would like to think that the return game side of things would have been open. It's not that JD hasn't proven as a good option. He had a kickoff return in 2018, but just from a decision making standpoint, and quite honestly, he had about three or four too many fumbles in my opinion last year. He had a lot of catches at the 10 where his heels went back, and he made a lot of fair catches inside that 5 to 10 yard area that you're not supposed to catch football that deep, and it just kind of hoses an already inconsistent offense. So Wandale's the guy you like to think about. When it comes to punt return,
yeah, I mean, he did kickoff.
There'll
stuff
be some
last
other
year,
candidates yeah. there too for Nebraska.
Yeah, Wandale did some kick return stuff last year, so I'd like to see if they put him also back on punt return, see what he can do there. But I mentioned the younger guys coming in that can come in and make a difference in the return game. I know Alonte Brown's got a couple returns that he had in his postgraduate year last year. I think Henry Gray, if he has hands, I guess you don't know about that. I think he's got the vision and top end speed that you want from your returner. I'd be interested to see if he gets a shot. But I think it's pretty wide open, special teams just all around.
It is. And kicking and punting are, man, they're so huge. It's underrated. Good stuff today. Thanks to Coach Pisota, who joined us, head coach of Pius Girls Basketball. That has been posted, that interview, on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Elijah Herbal will get the old podcast knocked out. We had a shortened, super shortened show yesterday. So a full show today. You can get that on HaleVarsity.com. Bill Dolman was great. Jeff Maul letting you know what's happening around Lincoln and some of the vision that's going on here in the rail yard and in the capital city with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, as they will no doubt take care of you when you come to Lincoln for tournament action or just whatever you're maybe hitting the town for, conventions or state tournaments or youth baseball, whatever the case may be. Jeff's your guy to look up. Greg Smith all over it. Was a lot of fun. Husker baseball over Columbia. It's time for Thank You, Sir. May I have another? Someone's getting paddled tonight with the Ivy League. Good for the Big Red. They got a 5-3 victory. Talk to you tomorrow at 7 a.m. Weekend edition. Big thanks to Elijah Herbal as well. Tip off at 7 with Pius.